Welcome to the Learning and Development Podcast. I'm David James from 360 Learning, and each episode I chat with guests about what lights them up in the world of people development. In this episode, I'm welcoming back Sarah Allen alongside her colleague Molly Howes to discuss digital upskilling at Aviva. But before we get into it, if you're enjoying this podcast, please do give us a 5-star rating on your podcast app of choice to help others to find us, and thank you if you've done so already. Now, let's get into it. Sarah, Molly, welcome to the Learning and Development Podcast.
Thanks for having us, David. Pleasure to be here.
Great to be here, David.
Now, Sarah, we spoke during lockdown about how you responded during the pandemic while you were at AXA. What's been going on for you professionally since then?
So I have taken on a new role. So for the last 14 months, I've been head of learning for Aviva, which has been gone, you know, in a whirlwind. So can't believe it's been over a year already that I've been with the team. But it's been fantastic and a really exciting organisation with a fabulous CEO. So really, doing great things with the team, and obviously here today to talk to you about one of them.
Fabulous. Perhaps we can linger on that just for a moment then, Sarah. So what are the main challenges that you're facing and seeking solutions for at Aviva?
So, our business strategy is really clear and simple. So we've got 4 strategic objectives that as an organisation we are really focused on. So they are customer growth, efficiency and sustainability. Mm-hmm. So our learning strategy, when I joined, very quickly looked to define the learning strategy that would be aligned to that and make sure that we're focused on achieving great business outcomes and great customer outcomes. Mm. So I wanted to keep our learning strategy really simple. So it's there are 3 pillars. Everybody can remember 3. So our first pillar is learning for all. And that's really focused on making sure that all 22,000 colleagues at Aviva have access to learning to make sure that they can perform at their best, they can develop their careers. And we do that through our Aviva University platform that we have. Mm-hmm. The second pillar is learning to keep our colleagues and customers safe. So we work in a really heavily regulated industry. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that all of our regulatory learning is really good, impactful, and everybody does it. Mm-hmm. We've got new regulation that we're working on at the moment, consumer duty, that's coming out by the end of July. So we're making sure that our essential learning is as best as it can be. Mm. And then our third pillar, and is actually where we're really focused on right now, is learning for the future. Mm. So we have got a strong people priority to build a future ready workforce. And so there's a massive, massive spotlight on learning, which is great. That's why it's been so exciting at Aviva since I joined. Mm. So everything that we're doing around making sure that colleagues have got the skills that they need, not just to do their jobs today, but thinking about the jobs that they're going to be doing in the future, the skills that they're going to need to require in the future. Mm. That's what we're focused on. So those 3 pillars really ground us, really help to prioritise what's important and make sure that what we're doing is really driving Aviva forward.
And for those of our listeners who aren't aware of Aviva, I mean, you have a strong brand here in the UK, but perhaps for our international listeners, what business is Aviva in?
Oh, very good point. So we are we're the UK leading number one insurance provider. Mm. We're focused in the UK, Ireland and Canada. We've got really strong presence and quite a lot of colleagues in Canada as well. Mm. But I think Aviva's well known for insurance. So when you talk to people, they'll often say, oh, yeah, I've got my car insurance with Aviva or my home insurance with Aviva. But we're not just an insurance company. We also cover all types of protection. So our purpose is with you for today for a better tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So it's really making sure that people have got a good financial future ahead of them. Protection, so we cover health protection, We're in the wealth business, retirement, pensions, investment management as well. So it really is, you know, covers a lot of parts of the financial services industry.
So, yeah, so as you said, there's a heavy regulation element to that. And Molly, if I can invite you into the conversation here, because you've established the Aviva Foundry at Aviva. So could you just explain to us what this is and what the problems are that you're seeking to solve with it?
Yes, absolutely. It has been, like Sarah said, a whirlwind few months whilst we've been launching the Aviva Foundry. Our key problem that we really are looking to tackle with the Aviva Foundry is the digital skills talent pipeline gap. So we know as a business in the future, we are going to need increased digital skills, not only within our digital and tech sectors, but also within all of our 22,000 colleagues. We really need to increase that digital literacy and understanding. We also know that not all of the roles that we currently sit in today are potentially going to be here in the future as we continue to adapt and meet our customers' expectations with more digital online journeys. So what we wanted to do is really support our colleagues and also the community to address this gap that's not only just an Aviva problem, but a global problem as well that all businesses and markets are facing right now. So that's where we came up with the idea of the Aviva Foundry. So it's our reskilling flagship program with three core pathways to help address some of those problems that I just mentioned. So first of all, we have the digital skills for all pathway. So these are 10 immersion sessions that start to look at the various different topics across the digital landscape. And this is really focused on what Sarah mentioned, that learning for all our 22,000 colleagues. So I have been a digital product owner for the past 4 years, I believe. I started my career at Aviva 8 years ago in equity release as a customer service expert. And if you'd have asked me 4 years ago if I wanted to be a product owner, if I wanted to be in digital, I'd have gone, absolutely not. I'm not technically savvy. I can't do that. I haven't got the capability, the skills. It's scary. I don't understand digital. I don't understand technology. I still look for a telephone number when I'm scrolling through a website rather than using live chat. So we really wanted to try and tackle that problem face on, because we still know that that's the case for quite a few people across the business, especially when we look at our customer service teams. So with the digital skills for all, we wanted to be able to give a little bit of an insight to what this world of digital is all about, to understand and demystify some of the core topics that we hear about all the time right now, like ChatGPT and AI. So what we did is created with our learning partner Decoded a series of 10 immersion sessions, just 1 hour long, held virtually and presented by our expert team at Decoded to start to cover some of those. So we've got design thinking, understanding AI, crypto, blockchain and beyond, and much more. So we've had a huge success with our digital skills for all that we launched in February. And we've seen over 2,000 of our colleagues actually to come along to these sessions, and we've got much more booked on for the next series of those immersion sessions. So that's really exciting. The second pathway is where we really start getting into our upskilling. So this is our digital boot camps, and they are split into two different sectors, which are software engineering and product. So within product, we're really concentrating on core customer roles such as product owner, business analyst, and product designer, where our teams are really focused on getting the best thing, the best journeys, the best systems for our customers. The software engineering pathway is more technical, We look at coding languages, we look at platforms, testing, automation, to really understand what the fundamental skills are for those core roles that we know we're going to need more of in the future. So we actually launched our first cohort of boot camps in May, and we are just over halfway through now. It's been a really exciting learning journey for over 50 Aviva colleagues and also 6 T-level students from Norwich City College. We really wanted with the Foundry to be able to support, like I mentioned, the community too. So what we've spent a lot of time doing is connecting with colleges in the Norfolk area to be able to bring those T-level students who are potentially looking at digital careers into the workplace, gift them seats on our boot camps, our digital skills for all, to really start to open their eyes to financial services, what digital means when it comes to Aviva, what it might look like in their career going forward. We've been massively impressed with the students that we've had come along to the boot camps, and it's been really lovely watching them grow in very scary environment, especially when we've come out of COVID and these students haven't potentially been in that face-to-face working environment with adults around them. So we've really seen them come out of their shells and start to interact a lot more with Decoded, our learning partner, and also with their teammates who are there on that journey too. So it's been fantastic. The third and final pathway, and then I will stop talking and let you ask some questions, is the Digital Mastery Academies, which we are going to be launching in September. Now, this is where we really get into our reskilling for the Foundry, and this is really our motive and what we're really trying to achieve in terms of that journey to take people into a potential new career path and give people another way to find themselves, their passion and what they want to jump into going forward at Aviva without the need to potentially go to university for qualifications, etc. So the Digital Mastery Academies are split into four. We are covering software engineer and test in one academy, product design, business analyst, and then product ownership. The programs are around 10 to 12 weeks and require about a 3-day commitment to learning. They will all be running virtually, and we've actually really chuffed to be able to scale up and not only introduce these to our Norwich colleagues like we have done with our boot camps, but to actually offer to all of our Aviva colleagues in UK and Ireland across all of the regions. So that's really exciting. The courses are focused on experimental learning, really looking at the core skills that you need in each of those roles, the mindset, the languages, and the behaviours that we would typically see on a day-to-day in one of those roles. We're working really closely with the business, with our experts who are already in our digital and tech world, bringing them closely into the Digital Mastery Academies and the boot camps as well, so they can really support the learners and the cohorts on their journey too, with coaching, shadowing, and also that opportunity to network and to understand more of what that role looks like. So like I said, launching those in September, we're very busy at the moment, looking to get applications live very shortly. And we're really excited to be able to offer that pathway that actually after those 10 to 12 weeks will mean that someone's potentially role ready to go into a digital role or to continue their learning with apprenticeships and other pathways through the Aviva Foundry.
Sounds wonderful. Thanks for unpacking that. Molly, I've got so many questions, and I don't think the listener will let me off the hook if I don't go through and answer some of these. But first of all, this is probably the most comprehensive digital upskilling program that I've had a conversation about on this podcast. There's clearly the need that's been recognised. There was a report published by the Industrial Skills Council 2019 that highlighted that digital basics were the biggest skill shortage in the country, certainly like in the UK, and that which was a pressing problem back then, because 80% of the workforce of 2030 was already in the workforce then. So that has only increased now as well. So organizations, rather than having a civic responsibility to upskill populations in order to make them more capable, what I love about what you've done there is that you're increasing the size of your talent pool by doing that amount of good as well. But I'd like to just rewind a little here and to ask what your aim for the Foundry is, and if there's a what business goal's been defined for it to address.
So we have definitely set ourselves some internal targets with the Aviva Foundry. Our very first goal and our key business case is around the reskilling element of the Aviva Foundry into those digital roles. And we have set an internal target of being able to reskill around 200 people into new digital roles for the future. Wow. So that's our key metric. We also are very keen, like Sarah mentioned, to have the learning for all. So we'll also be looking to increase the digital literacy across the organisation and be able to measure the confidence in those digital spaces and the passion for wanting to become more digitally savvy and increase their literacy.
Well, I love that holding yourself to account to actual numbers, you know, and actually transitioning people into roles rather than, you know, in learning and development, we can be guilty a lot of the time for simply providing learning opportunities. But of course, those opportunities don't count for much if they're not actually delivering defined results. So hats off to you. But I'll come back to what you mentioned there about passion. I've had conversations on here before, and it's been highlighted that upskilling programs won't always be welcomed because, look, let's be blunt, some people don't want to change. Some people don't actually want to go on this journey and will perhaps acknowledge that maybe their time's up at the organization and they want to try something else instead. So how are you going to go about developing passion and understanding in digital?
So that's definitely where our digital skills for all comes in. And it's really amazing to see people's curiosity actually grow throughout those sessions as well. We're really keen to be able to measure, to understand if these sessions are working and if they're covering the topics that people need. And one of the key things that we're going to be looking at for the future is updating those 10 immersion sessions and keep moving with the times to actually look at what else do we need to explore, what other things do we need to really raise awareness of and start to light that passion. So the 1 hour immersion sessions are where we're really focusing that understanding piece, and it's been great to see that people have become more curious, ask more questions. Once I've come to one immersion session, come along to a lot more, started asking questions in terms of ChatGPT and wanting to find out how that actually impacts us at Aviva as well as a business. So we're also, as you can imagine, shouting from the hills about the Aviva Foundry and the amazing opportunities. It was brilliant in January in our launch for Norwich to see over 300 people actually come to the launch event. Wow. in our island site at Norwich. And that we also had Amanda Blanc, our CEO, come along, Danny Harmer, our Chief People Officer. And it was great to see the look on people's faces when they saw this opportunity and actually something that Aviva's never done before. And you could see that people were really engaged and happy that they were able to come on this journey with us to start to explore the future of digital.
Yeah, I can see how it's...
Sorry, David. I was just going to say, Molly just mentioned there, I think the fact that we have such strong executive sponsorship at Aviva, like this is not something that we're really having to push that much, honestly. So when we spoke to Amanda Blanc, our CEO, about it, it was a very short conversation because for her, it was absolute no-brainer. Go do it. You have my full backing. I'll be there at the launch. Go do it. Ben Luckett is our chief innovation officer. He has helped with funding some of this, with some of the ideas and the innovation. Like Danny Harmer, our chief people officer, everybody is fully in on this. So it's it helps to drive that passion. And then when you've got somebody like Molly, who is so passionate about that, leading it and driving it, we've not really struggled with any lack of passion so far. But you know, we're still launching it, and we've still got the academies to go and everything. But we are making sure that the application for those academies are open to all. So we're not putting any barriers in the way. It's literally anybody can apply. They will have to go through a fairly rigorous application process, so it won't be easy, because we want to make sure that we have got the people with the passion, with the growth mindset, to help us make sure that we can really reskill and then redeploy people.
Yeah, brilliant. Going back to the solutions, Molly, you've got pretty comprehensive journey or pathway, as you've described, with your three pathways. How did you come up with the right solutions?
So I mentioned earlier our external learning partner Decoded. They were hugely supportive in helping us shape the learning pathways and our key focuses across the Foundry. They have for many years supported companies, governments with reskilling, with learning opportunities in digital and data specifically. So they were really helpful in terms of looking at how we can tackle these problems in the timescales that we're concentrating on as well. We also did a lot of work with our Workforce of the Future teams and also our recruitment to really understand what the problems are and where the gaps are really sitting, so we could make sure that when we were developing our programs that they were really going to address the core needs that we needed. I've worked very closely, obviously, like I mentioned, being a digital product owner myself prior to this role. I've got lots of experts that I can luckily pull on in my back pocket. So we've spent a lot of time with the business making sure that the programmes are fit for purpose and really going to meet our learners' expectations and also the business expectations in terms of what skills they will have when they roll off these programs and continue their learning journey. And we've had such support and engagement from the business. It's been really great to have a diverse team to bring together to develop something completely new. I started last November with a blank sheet of paper, which was very, very scary. But we've all pulled together and really looked at how we can address those problems and the best way to do it.
Yeah. And we did go through a proper RFP process as well to select our learning partner. So, and what I really liked, we loved about Decoded is that in the RFP process, it actually challenged our thinking and turned it on its head completely. So we were thinking previously about the pathways being about the audience, so looking at like our communities, T-level students, and looking at it like that way. But Decoded actually challenged us to look at it in the other way and doing it, but the pathways with the digital for all, the boot camps and everything. So yeah, really confident that we selected a fantastic provider. I've been in many of the immersion sessions, and the learning experience is really, really strong.
And the collaboration as well with your Workforce of Tomorrow team and your recruitment team means that you've got something robust that's not just focused on the development, but those stages of the right analysis at the outset to understand what the skills are and the jobs that you need people to do, plus the recruitment team on the criteria in which people will be assessed for future roles. So you've got, you know, those three stages, which means that it isn't just going to be a leap of faith that somebody commits time and effort to learning, and then there's nothing in it for them afterwards. Just hope and a promise. It seems that with that joined up, it is focused on helping people actually transition, ensuring that the organization has the skills it's required, and helping employees that perhaps without this type of support and robust support may find themselves in more precarious positions. So again, I think it's an important thing to draw out. I'd love to know that clearly we've been talking about those 200 folks, the goal there, 200 folks transitioning. I wonder whether you've put any other measures in place along your journey to assess whether you are moving towards achieving your goal, any checks and balances, any assessment criteria?
Absolutely, yes. We love feedback. We love our measures. So we've got lots of things in place so we can continuously learn and make sure that what we're delivering is exactly what our learners and the business need. So with our digital skills for all, like I did mention previously, we do have our curiosity and confidence measures, which are really key for us to be able to understand if we are working on the right topics, if people are remaining engaged throughout sessions, if people are actually learning anything, and if they're coming out of those sessions knowing more about crypto or more about Web3 than when they first joined the session. We've had some fantastic feedback off the back of those, and people have said that they've gone into the session not being able to answer a question that morning in work about what is cryptocurrency, and coming out of that and being able to really competently explain to a colleague who's asked that question. So they're really important feedback surveys for us to really make sure that we're hitting the nail on the head with the content and the topics as well. In terms of the boot camps and the academies, with the learning cohorts, we will be carrying out assessments at both application stage and throughout the programme, specifically rolling off the program, because we really want to make sure that we can measure and see that there's been a noticeable shift in terms of skills, mindset, and the key fundamentals that we're looking at as part of the programs. So we will be continuing to look at those periodically throughout those boot camps and academies. Like you mentioned as well, we're trying to get to our golden number of 200. Obviously we want loads more than that, and we will push to make sure that over the years, the coming years, we continue on our journey. Hopefully the next time we talk, I'll be saying a lot bigger numbers than 200. But we do want to make sure as well and understand the pathways in between. Somebody who's potentially gone on the boot camp, are they then registering for the academy? Are they going on to an apprenticeship? Do they eventually get that digital role? And we've got a commitment with our recruitment team as well in terms of the academies, that if somebody has been through the programme and completed it, that they will be guaranteed an interview if one of those roles becomes available at Aviva. So we will be measuring to see how many people are applying for those roles and how many are successful in getting them.
And you talked about your own journey, Molly. You said that years ago that were you to be told or offered a digital product owner role, you perhaps feel as if it wasn't for you. But what you described there might be something that a lot of people in learning are experiencing right now. The cornerstone of learning and development skill set was facilitation and delivery before, probably then backed up by design and some of the other core skills around the delivery and the provision of learning, but digital product ownership has grown in prominence, and so I wonder what kind of development has it taken in terms of the learning team to get this up and running, and are you also both upskilling the learning team in this skill set, and is that making a difference in the way that other programs are run?
So yes, it's been a bit of a roller coaster in terms of having to learn quickly with the wider team. Like you mentioned, we are absolutely encouraging our learning team to come on board and get involved with the digital skills for all to start with. We really want them to be on the immersions, to be championing. So they've also got those digital skills that we are encouraging the whole workforce to enroll in.
Well, we have a really strong digital learning, design and technology team in the learning function. So Aviva University is our platform, we make sure that everything we are doing is available to all, and so therefore available digitally. We're still growing our digital skills, both in the digital design, but also across the wider team. So when we're facilitating virtually, when we are, the digital tools that we use on a daily, on a day-to-day basis, really trying to grow our skills there.
Great.
Molly, is there anything that you want to add?
No, I don't think so. I think it's really given us a great insight into how we might look at future academies. We've got a long list of various different areas that need support with reskilling and upskilling. And I think the way that we've laid out the Foundry and really concentrating on the digital for all, as well as then our cohorts to really specialise, is something that we definitely will take forward and encourage in the future.
Yeah, we have got our next academy in design phase at the moment. So to support our wealth part of the business, we're going to need to be doing a lot of reskilling there. So we're looking into how can we help people develop a role as a financial advisor or something in the wealth business, which is really different to what Molly's done here with the Foundry. But we're going to take lots of the learnings from this reskilling initiative to then bring into the Wealth Academy when we launch that towards the end of this year.
Well, again, what I love about this is that it's not a cookie cutter approach. You've not just made generic digital awareness training available and then left the hard work to the individual, which is how do I then do my job in the future or do a future job, almost leave them flailing amongst a sea of job opportunities that might seem out of their reach. So I love that that you're taking disciplines and mapping then what's actually required for the future of each of these, which leads me to my final question, actually, because there are going to be plenty of people who are listening to this and feeling inspired, and that and also thinking that this is both an aspiration and it's attainable for them too. But I wonder what advice you would give to others who want to do something similar in their organisations.
I definitely say work closely with your experts, with your teams. I've had many meetings going through what does a digital product owner look like in the future? What does a business analyst actually do on a day-to-day basis? Like I said, I still can't really answer that question to you. When I've been a product owner myself for 4 years, we really needed to drill down into that understanding of the core skill set, and also not just of what it is today, what it is in the future. Mm-hmm. So I would say work very closely with your digital, with your tech teams. Make sure that your recruitment, your workforce of the future teams are on board, are engaged, and really speak to your learners, understand what career paths they want, understand how they are best going to achieve the success that you're driving forward, and make sure that is a collaborative approach across all of those teams and all of those people. And definitely wouldn't have been able to do this without the amazing team at Decoded as well, who have been so supportive in terms of bringing their expertise, their knowledge, and their passion as well for what we're trying to achieve to help us push forward and have a successful launch of the Foundry.
Brilliant.
David, I've got two pieces of advice from me. So one is start now, act now.
Yep.
Don't wait, because I'll be too late. So we didn't have all the answers sorted out before we started. But for me, this was like no regret activity. At no point are we going to regret starting the Foundry. We know that. We know enough to get going. So start, and you can figure out a bit more as you're going. And that's what we're doing. And that's why doing it within the three pathways. So when we launch one, then we start building the next one and start building the next one. That's been really, really good. And I've forgotten my second piece of advice now, and it was really good. What was my second piece of advice? Now, start with a handful of roles. Mm. So we picked like five digital roles. there are many more digital and tech roles that Aviva's going to need in the future, but it's the future and we don't know them all yet. So pick five of like the most obvious ones, or the five hardest, the ones that are proving the hardest to fill and recruit for now. So that's what we did. So start smaller, I would say, or more focused. Don't try and cover every tech and digital role that's possibly going to be there, because half of them we don't know them yet. So
yeah,
they were my words of wisdom.
Great advice. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing. It sounds like it's really exciting, but as I said, I think it's really inspiring as well. So all's left to say is thank you very much, Molly and Sarah, for being guests on the Learning and Development Podcast.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David. Great to be here.
Like many organisations, Aviva's going through a digital transformation and they're taking their people with them in a way that protects jobs and ensures the company against skill shortages. It's a smart move and one that L&D have taken full responsibility for and will be an inspiration for many. If this conversation has whet your appetite for good quality L&D chat and you'd like to get involved, you can now join the L&D Collective, of which I'm an active member. Join me and thousands of L&D peers via the link to the L&D Collective in the show notes. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, perhaps to suggest topics you'd like to hear discussed, you can tweet me at David in Learning and connect on LinkedIn. Again, you'll find links in the show notes. And goodbye for now.